morning, first of all, let me say that I expect and hope, I'm going to teach this like a class. You know, a lot of times we have gospel meetings and the Sunday morning Bible class is just another opportunity for a sermon. And that's not what I intend to do this morning. So I'd ask you, if you have anything to say, I'd appreciate, you know, you speaking up and saying it. If you want to raise your hand, raise your hand. If you don't, just speak out. But I generally do things that way on Sunday morning just because that's what I'm used to. And a lot of times that's what everybody else is used to. I appreciate the prayer. We have a guy at home that he usually, when he prays, he says he's thankful that we're able to be reminded of the things we already know. And I'm not sure what I feel about that. I'm glad that everybody knows it, and I'm just reminding people. But I would hope to be a teacher some to teach something. So hopefully, as we go through this morning and through the week, we'll learn something. And I appreciate the opportunity for being here. This morning in our Bible class, we're going to look at what is faith. I understand that we all know what faith is. You know, we're here. If we've been baptized into Christ, we definitely know what faith is. But then I want to talk about for just a minute, as we close our lesson, what faith does for us. There are some things that I think that as we look at faith and we begin thinking about that, that there are some things that it just does that sometimes we don't really realize. But I think a good place to go to, and we're going to look at in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. I think a good thing to look at it as what faith does for them. We recognize all those people. We call Hebrews chapter 11 the hall of faith, or, you know, heroes of faith or whatever. And we think about that in that sense, and we realize all of them had faith. But look at what it did for them. And sometimes we kind of complain about things we have to do. We complain about, you know, how hard it might be to be a Christian sometimes, and how hard it is to have faith. But look at some of these people and think about the things that they went through as well. The first thing that I want to do is I want to define faith. Somebody give me a definition of faith. What is faith? It's the first thing that pops into your mind.
Belief.
I'm glad you're following that line. The first thing that we look at is faith. Faith is belief. When we begin looking at it, when we think about it, that's the first thing that pops into our mind. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so that's the first definition that we think about belief. Religiously, one of the problems that we have in teaching people is that's their definition of faith, isn't it? And what do they say when we began talking to them about the Bible? Generally, most people we talk to, what's the first thing they say? How do you know it's real? How do you know? Well, then they say, if they say that they're Christians, and you began talking to them about the Bible, you began talking, what do they say though? I believe. They say, I believe. And so a lot of times when we go try to teach people, that just kind of stops us in our tracks as far as their listening to us is concerned. They say, well, I already believe. My mother-in-law said to me one time, trying to talk to her, and it was said, I don't know if it said to me or said to Michelle or said, but it was said, I wish you'd just leave us saved people alone and go teach the lost. She's a member of the denomination. And what I want to say, well, you're not saved. I didn't say that to her. But, you know, the idea is, and what she's saying, I believe. I already believe. Why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me? Why are you trying to convert somebody that already believes? And so not only do people say that they believe, but also they say, well, because I believe, that makes me a Christian. That automatically, for most people, they say, because I believe, that makes me a Christian. Why is that? They don't believe that a person has to do what God says, especially in regard to baptism, of course. That's right. That's exactly right. And that's one thing that we look at when we are talking to people, that we have to overcome their teaching. But then also think about when Christianity came into existence, what they had to do. They had to overcome years and years of not only teaching, but them believing that they were already God's people, which they were in the Old Testament. But to say that we are God's people, not only did they think that they were God's people, they were God's people under the Old Testament. So first thing that we look at, that we understand, that faith is belief. Somebody give me another definition. What do you think about when you think about faith?
It's taking God at his word, believing God, and then doing whatever he would
be walking to do.
Faith is, it's not exactly those words, but faith is confidence in what God said. Faith is confidence in understanding what he said and having the conviction to know that what he says is true. It's confidence and conviction. It's not just believing something. I used to use an illustration, and I still use illustration, but it doesn't fit anymore. My mom always, when we were growing up, and even later than that, she said she didn't believe in airplanes. Anybody here not believe in airplanes? You know what she meant by that? She didn't have the confidence, and she didn't have the conviction to know that she was going to get from where she started to where she ended. She thought if she went over the water, she'd go down that water somewhere. She didn't have faith. She didn't believe. She didn't believe in airplanes. Now I say that, and a lot of people's eyes, what? Nobody raised their hand when I asked, does anybody not believe in airplanes, did they? Because we all, you can go out there and you can look out and you see them. You say, well, sure, I believe in, look, they're right there. But she didn't believe they could get her from point A to point B. She had no confidence. She believed them, but what people told her about that airplane. And the statistics always show, and you can never convince her of that, but the statistics always show that airplanes are safer than traveling on the roads. But when you get an airplane go down, very, very rarely when you're traveling, I've never seen an accident where 100 people die at one time. And so that's the thing that people look at it, that people think about, people think about those airplanes. And so, and the reason I say I can't really do that anymore is my sister finally convinced her to take one out to California to go see him. So that doesn't really work anymore. We'll still use it. But anyway, look with me over the book of Hebrews there in verse 7. He says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of the household by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. What is that? That's confidence, isn't it? To know of something as we look at that he says that he was divinely warned of something not yet seen. Now, there are people that look at that and they think about it in different ways. And, some say, well, there's never been a flood, never rained that much, or just never rained at all. I tend to believe that it's probably never rained at all. That things had been grown through the moisture, the natural moisture of the air and things perhaps. And, whether that's so or not, I don't know. It just says that things don't seem. But as we look at that then, to understand that God told him to go out and to build an ark. First of all, an ark. Well, that was a massive undertaking, wasn't it? To build an ark. And to instruct him to go out and to understand that, first of all, you're going to need this ark because there's going to be a flood. There's going to be rain, and it's going to rain so much that you're going to have this boat to live. You're going to have this ark to live. And then I'm going to want you later on, he said, I'm going to want you to bring all the animals into it. I'm two by two. There were all these animals. I want you to bring your children, bring their spouses. You come in that situation. But boy, that took a lot of confidence, didn't it? You think we'd have that much confidence in God? To understand the things he said. Realize too, this is kind of early on in man's history. Now we look at things and we see all the promises that God has made to us, and we see all the fact that the promises have all come true. We have the Old Testament. We have all the things that have been said and all the things that have been done up to this point. We see everything coming true. They didn't see that. They hadn't seen how God operated to the extent that we do. They'd seen it, but not to the extent that we do at this point, realizing all the things that God has promised have come true. that we have great precedence to know that, that everything is going to. So that took confidence. It took conviction to be that convicted. To think about, and we're going to talk about this in just a minute as we get to what faith does to us, but think about as people went up, and of course they've had movies about this and everything, and the people go up to Noah and kind of chide him and talk about him and say all kinds of things about him. But you know that's how they did, you know, and realize, did he build it overnight? No. How long did it take to build the ark? Anybody remember? 120 years. Can you imagine for that long having people come to you and say, man, Noah, you are full of it. You don't understand. What in the world are you doing? Can you? What would that do to you? And for that long, for God to say, it's going to rain. It's going to flood. You're going to need this boat. And for 120 years, you've got dry ground, and people come up and say, man, Noah, you're crazy. You're nuts. What would that do to us? What most of us do? We get discouraged. What we do when we get discouraged? We just quit. We say, well, you know what? They're right. I got to be a little crazy. I hadn't seen rain. I hadn't seen anything that would lead me to believe that I'm gonna die if I don't build this boat. I'm just gonna give up. Well, it's hard. I'm the only one out here. Nobody believes that I'm gonna have an ark, so nobody's out here helping me and everything, and having to do everything all by myself. And he didn't do that, did he? Why? Because he had faith. He had confidence. He had conviction of faith. Go to verse 8. Look at the next verse there. He said, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God said, you go. What did Abraham do? He went. He didn't say, well, where am I going? What do you got in store for me, God? How do I know I'm going to get there? Use my mom again. But my dad, when he retired, he went out and he bought him a motorhome. And he went all over the place. And he just one morning, he'd get up and he'd tell my mom that he just decided he's going to go somewhere. He says, you want to go? You know what the question she asked? Where are you going? How long are we going to be gone? Who are we going to see? When are we going to get back? Abraham asking those questions? No. He had confidence. He had conviction that God said, there's a city out there. You go to it. You go to that city. And so he just went. Drop down to verse 17 then. In verse 17, he says of Abraham then, he says, by faith, when he was tested, offer up Isaac, and he who had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, and Isaac, your seed shall be called, concluding that God, and here's our definition, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he had also received him in a figurative sense. Isn't that basically our definition, not the way we put it? He says that he concluding. He concluded that God's able to. He had the confidence to know that, here God has given me a promise. And he's told me that through my seed, and the only one that I have out here, I've got Jacob out here as we look at. And so I look at that, and Isaac, he's out here, and it's going to be through him that my seed is going to be multiplied. And yet, he's telling me to go up and kill him. What do you? Why do you do that?
You see, in the first verse, he says it's the evidence. And so if God says it, that's enough evidence. It's as if it's right before you.
Yep.
And, you know, it's tangible. It's evidence.
Before we believe anything, generally what we have to have is what? We have to have evidence. We have to have proof. And proof to us means what? See, taste, feel. But to Abraham, there wasn't that evidence, was there? But there was evidence, because we do know that, you know, evidence not only is something that we can tangibly see now, but it's also to understand things that, as we talked about, things that happened in the past and we've seen them happen in the past. And when somebody gives you know, we all know people both ways. One, we know people that, you know, if they tell you something, you say what about them? Either way is fine, whatever you say. What do we say about when somebody tells you they're going to do something? What do we believe about that, what they say? You take that to bank. I'm not sure that's a great return, but anyway. You take that to the bank. What else do we say about people? Ain't no way that's going to happen. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, there's two ways. Those are the two ways we think about people when somebody tells us. But when God told Abraham to get up and move and go, God told Abraham, you know, I want you to offer your son through which your seed's going to be blessed. He said, you know, whatever happens, God's going to work this out. It's all going to work out. And so he just went up. Once again, we kind of think about him maybe being a little bit crazy. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, if you look over there real quick. Very familiar passage talking about David and Goliath, talking about David specifically here. But in verse 37, he says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Look at that. He says, he will deliver me. Now, there's a statement that you'll remember that as you go look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were, Nebuchadnezzar was trying to get him to bow down, and they wouldn't do it, and Nebuchadnezzar says, well, if you're not going to do it, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And remember what they said? They said, our God will deliver us. But they went on there, and they said, but even if he doesn't, knew that God had the power, but even if he doesn't, I'm not going to disobey God. I'm not going to go against God. I'm not going to bow down to that. I'm not going to bow down to the altar. And so we look at that. You know, that was confidence. That's confidence to know that even though that, you know, that their life might not be saved, to understand and to recognize that things were going to work out, and they would be better off for doing what God said as opposed to disobeying God. Another definition. Got one more real quick. Way of life. Faith is a way of life. It is an action. It is something we do. Most of the time when we think about faith, we think about those things that, as we said, we think about belief, something we just mentally believe. Or we think about, perhaps we think about the confidence and the conviction that we have based on evidence, based on things that happen. But that's not action, is it? Can we say that, you know, generally what we talk about, of course, we look at the book of James, we talk about saving faith. We think about that being an action, that faith without works is dead. And that's, of course, true as we look at it. I'm not trying to say that it's not, but that is faith. Faith is, and we might say it in that way, we might look at it that way, but faith is the idea, it is seen in the things we do. If we can't see faith, do we say that someone has faith? No, because faith is something. Faith is the way that we live. You know, now, a lot of times we define faith, and we have a misunderstanding, I think, a lot of times about faith. When we talk about somebody being a faithful Christian, what do we usually mean? I mean they come to church all the time. That's kind of how we define being faithful. That doesn't even touch what faithful is. What that is, that's faithful to services. That's all that is. But that is an evidence of faith. And that may very well be to some people, to some ways, that may a lot be, but I'll say at least most of what we see in their lives. You know, especially today, we live in a society where, you know, most of us got here in cars. Anybody walk? Anybody get here by, you know, a motor vehicle? I say that because, you know, when we were in Tennessee, we lived up the hill, and I was always used to, you know, you go to services, you get in your car, and you go. And so that first morning, that first Sunday we were there, we got in our car and we drove down the hill and we parked our car and we walked in. Everybody laughed at us. They said, "Whoa, what's the car?" It's just down the hill. So that was the last time we did that. We walked through. But anyway, most of us, you know, we get our car and we come. We live in a society where, you know, we live 10, 15, 20 miles away from each other, 25, you know, maybe even more sometimes. You know, and so a lot of times we don't know the lives of most people. What we see most of all about them is we see whether or not they attend services. But as I said, I think that's a poor indicator of what faith is. It is an indicator, but I think to some degree it's kind of a poor indicator of whether or not a person has faith. You know, whether or not a person is faithful. But anyway, as we think about that, we look at faith being a idea that's a way of life. Over the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just a minute, leave this. But in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 7, the Bible simply says, "Therefore we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith. Person that walked by faith, he didn't have what? He doesn't walk by faith, he doesn't have what? Doesn't have faith. Because faith is something that we walk by. It's something that we live by. And it's something that we see in all those examples that we look at there in the book of Hebrews. Go over then, as we talked about just a minute ago, go over to the book of James, the second chapter. In James chapter 2 and verse 23. Where he says there, the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God. And so there's one definition of our word faith, isn't it? That he believed God. He believed what he said. And it was accounted for him for righteousness. How? How was it accounted for him for righteousness? He did what? He obeyed him. He had the confidence, conviction enough to know that what God has told me to do, I'm going to do it. And he went out, and not only did he know that, but he went out and did it. Not only did he have the confidence and conviction, but there was the idea of carrying through that confidence and conviction to understand that there's a matter of faith that we need to. And he said then that he was called the friend of God. Go over to the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul makes a statement there, once again, a kind of familiar statement. He says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." My life is no longer. I have been crucified. I live not my life in the flesh, but I live my life by God. I have a way that I live my life, as I understand. Let's go one passage in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, then, in verse 6. Bible there, he says that for without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to him, and that definition of faith here, but without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe, first definition, believe that he is, but also he says, and that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. That their life is what Paul said, that he's been crucified. And they no longer live according to the flesh, but they live by faith in the Son of God. It no longer is the matter of saying, well, before I move to a place, I've got to have everything right there. You know, nobody's going to tell me to get up and move and go somewhere without me knowing exactly where I'm going. Nobody's going to say, well, you know, I've never seen it rain on the earth. And for somebody to tell me to go build an ark, that's just nuts. I'm not going to do that. Well, reward. God's a rewarder of those who do what he says. And so faith is belief. I believe it to be confidence, conviction. It's a way of life. Anybody have any comments, any thoughts, any questions? All right. Then what does faith do for us? Maybe better it might be said, what does faith do to us? The first thing that I think that I see that faith does for us is faith leads us down blind alleys. This is what we're talking about Abraham. Wasn't that a blind alley? When we see an alley, we see something, you know, I love that TV commercial, isn't it a phone commercial or something about all those kids come out and the one says, well, let's go upstairs, and the other says, go in the basement, and the other says, no, let's take the running car. And they go, what are you nuts? And so they go hide behind the chainsaws. Well, you know, that's a blind, you know, she knew where that car was going to get her, didn't she? Here's a running car. I'm going to go in a running car. And it may have been put out there, and I guess that's maybe, they say you make bad decisions when you're a horror movie or whatever. But anyway, she knew what that car was going to do, didn't she? She knew it was going to get them out of the place that they were. It run, and it's ready to go. When we go hide and, you know, maybe just hide behind the chainsaws or whatever, what is that? We don't know whether or not we're going to be protected or not, do we? We may think that we are sometimes. But here you look at Abraham, and you see him going down that blind alley. He had no idea where he was going. He had no idea what was, you know, where he was going to end up. He knew how he was going to end up. He knew how it was going to work out, because God said to do it. He had the faith and conviction to know that if I do what God said, everything is going to be okay. Everything's going to be right. But he had no idea where he was going. God said, go. And he went. When he went up and he took his son up to crucify his son, or to kill his son, he went down a blind alley. He didn't know how it was going to work out. Now, the Bible tells us, of course, it's right, and it should be right within every situation, even in Abraham's situation, is to know that it was going to work out. He knew that even in a figurative sense, he'd receive his son back. He knew that he would, you know, that everything would work out. But he didn't know how. And a lot of times before we do anything, we want to know everything. Remember my illustration, my mom? She wanna know where she's going, how long they're gonna be gone, who they're gonna see, when they're gonna, you know, exactly where they're gonna know everything before she made the decision if she's going or not. Isn't that how we usually are? We want to know everything there is to know before we decide to do something. That's not the way Christianity is it? Now we know, and this is faith, and this is confidence, this is conviction. We know how the story ends. You know, it's like going to a novel, and I'll tell you, you ever go to a novel and look at the last page? And then you say, I'm going to just see how it turns out, and I'm going to read it. And so you go to the last page, and you read it, and you find out how it starts. Okay, now I'm going to start the book. And you may get a couple of pages, well, I already know how it's going to end. But you know, we know how it's going to end, don't we? If we're faithful, and the writer of Hebrews tells us that faith is, as we look at verse 6, that we must believe that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek after him. We know how it's going to end. It's the in-between that's interesting. It's the story that's interesting. It's how we get to the end. Whether or not we're going to be as faithful as we ought to be. You know, or not as we ought to be. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to do what God said? Are we going to have that confidence to know that, you know, I understand that I'm going down this blind alley? Now, I'm not telling anybody to pack up their stuff and move without knowing where they're going. But, you know, as we look at that, we understand where we're going. We understand what the end is going to be. And so we ought to, no matter what we're asked to do, no matter what the Bible tells us to do, we ought to look at that and we ought to say, you know what? I'm going to do it because God said do it. Don't worry about. You know, well, what's going to be the consequence? Well, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? You know, how are my friends going to look at me? Well, you know what? You know, just do it. Just do it. Whether it be a blind alley or not, whether there's any understanding where we're going or not, it doesn't make any difference. Well, God said do. Second thing, faith acts contrary to human reason, doesn't it? Think about Noah. Go back to Noah, and this is what I was talking about in verse 7 there. It says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Now, anything he does from that point, is that human reason? Does that make sense? Did it make sense to anybody? Think about it as you go back. I mean, just look at David and Goliath. Look at David. Now, that makes sense, you know, thinking about the story. We're going through the Old Testament back home, and I started this, and it started in April of 2010, and we're in 1 Samuel chapter 19 now. And we just got through all this, but you know, when you think about David, does that make sense for that little boy to go out there and fight that nine foot giant? Does that make any sense? No. It makes sense to anybody. Did it make any sense to anybody in Israel? What'd they say to David? Remember what they said to him? Well, they didn't say this, but David, you're nuts. and you know, just think about everything. He went out and took stones. He wouldn't take the armor. He wouldn't take Saul's armor. It hadn't been proven. Probably weighed more than he did. And he's gonna take stones out there, and he's gonna face a giant 9 foot. Nuts. No, that's not human reason. You know, you need tanks and machine guns and all kinds of stuff if you want to go against him. You know, you need spears and you need all that stuff. You know, there are other examples as we look at and we think of. You know, think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how that they went into that fiery furnace without any reservation at all. Did it make sense to even act the way they acted? No. It doesn't make any human sense, any human reason. But faith does that. Why do you do the things you do? Why is it, you know, for the majority of people in society today, for you to have gotten up an hour early today because of the time change and come to services and sit and listen to some nut job you've never heard of, or you've never known, does that make sense? Does it make sense to most people? It doesn't make sense to most people, does it? To believe in such a place, has anybody ever seen heaven? No. I've never seen it. To believe in that, to think that if you just live a certain way, if you just do certain things, if, as the religious world in general thinks, if you just believe that you're going to heaven, that makes sense. Not humanly.
If you just think about, I mean, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. When you go somewhere like 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, when Paul's talking about how, you know, the wisdom of God, well, the world sees that as foolishness. You know, so faith comes by hearing God's word. It's not going to be anything that is human reason.
That's right. That's exactly right. We very rarely will do anything that anybody is going to question because we're afraid. Think about when the walls of Jericho came down. Does that make any sense to anybody? I look at that, and I kind of look at that situation. I kind of see that same way with Noah. And here are people that God has told them, that, you know, you do this for certain length of time. For each day you're gonna walk, or for 6 days you're gonna walk around the walls for a time every day. And then on the seventh day you're gonna walk around seven times. That make any sense? I look at those people behind those walls, you know, here are the fortified walls, and you start seeing those people walk, and what's the first thing you think that may have come to their mind? Oh, they're advancing. Here they come. They're coming. And then they start walking around, and you're like, what are they doing? You know, where are they going? And then they kind of get back to their starting place and stop. And can you imagine the people behind there, and they're going, what just happened? And then they did it the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day. And then on the seventh day, they go around, and what do you think they thought that all the people were going to do after they got around the first time? Because they've seen it already. They've seen the evidence of what they were going to do and how that they thought they're going to come get us now. What do they think they're going to do when they get around the first time? Here they go. They're going to sit down there. And they start to walk around again. Can you just imagine that? Here they go again. What are they doing now? But can you just imagine what happened when the walls fell? And the looks on their faces? And the idea of being startled? Boy, I'm going to tell you, I think that's probably one of the greatest examples of faith acting contrary to human reason. Nobody in their right mind would think that you would be able to overcome a fortified city that way. And that's just the way faith is. Sometimes we may not be able to answer. And as I said, that's what we do in our life. We want every question answered before we ever do anything. And a lot of times that's what keeps us from doing what we ought to do as Christians. Because we can't answer the questions ahead of time. We can't answer the ifs. The what ifs, and what will happen if. And we've just got to carry on. We got to keep going. You know, I always say it, of course, if it's half a life. If it's not more, it's half. To understand, we just don't know what the outcome is going to be, except the ultimate outcome. You said the in-between, that's the fun part. That's the mystery. You know, it's not like that mystery book that sometimes we get bored of because we saw the last page and we know how it's going to turn out. There are people who will do that they may look at the end and they will read the whole book because they recognize and they understand that is the fun part. That's the interesting part, to see how you got to that. You know, a lot of times we watch it on TV. We do more watching on TV than anything. We watch the crime drama. We love all the crime shows and everything, whether they be truthful or fact-based or whether they be dramas. We love those. And you know what? CSI Miami comes on Sunday and Monday. Marathon. From I guess, 10 o'clock, the last one comes on, I think, at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have, from time to time, and more times than not, sat and watched every single one of them from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Telling the truth? Now, sometimes I fall asleep in between for a little while. But anyway, and I'll say, I already know this one. I've already seen this one. But you know, for one, we forget sometimes what's going to happen between them. But just to see, you know, and we may actually know the culprit. You know, the culprit. We may know the one who did it, but we get to that point and we say, "I don't remember how it turned out. I don't remember what happened." And I'll sit there and watch the whole thing, and at the end they'll reveal the one who did it. I said, "Oh yeah, that's right." But I just watched the whole thing real quick. A couple other things. Faith solves our religious problems. You know, we have questions. People talk about. You know what? You know. You know, is there life after death? You know, what you know, what should we do? You know, where does life begin? You know, questions like, well, faith answers those things. Now, sometimes it may seem, for some people, it might seem, say, well, you know, that's just kind of a cop-out to say, well, God said it. God, you know, God said it, and I believe it. But that's faith, isn't it? God said it, I believe it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. It's just God says it. That's the fact. And so, you know, all those religious problems that I have in my life, all those questions that I have, they can all be answered by faith. And I may not know whether or not Eve had a belly button or not, but I know what? I know that God made Adam and Eve. And I know that, you know, here's Cain and Abel. She had Cain and Abel. I know that. I may not know all those things, but I know that they all happened. And I know that I don't have to know all those things. I know that faith just answers those. I don't know when I pack up my bags, you know, and you know, God had told me to go, so, you know, not me specifically, you know, you look at Abraham, I may not know where I'm going. But the answer is faith. That's the answer. No, they're not on your question. That's the answer. Excuse me. It solves our personal problems. You know, how do we need to live? What do we need to do? Well, we live our life by faith. We look at what God said. We go through. We understand what the Bible has to tell us, and we do it because God said it. And that's just the end. You know, whether or not all the questions that people have, you know, well, surely God, you know, well, marriage for one thing. So, well, God wants me to be happy. Yeah, I know God wants me to be happy. He also wants me to be in a right relationship, a perfect relationship. So what does that mean? It means that I go by what God said. Well, once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is simply something that we walk by. It's a way that we live our life, not just something that we believe. And as we recognize that, as we go through that, that will, I think, help us to be a little bit more go about doing what God said, and not just kind of sometimes that we tend to a lot of times just to sit because we're afraid to do anything. Look at these men and women that we didn't read about anyway, but look at these men and women of Hebrews chapter 11. They did. They didn't just sit back and say, well, I believe one day I'm going to go to heaven. Well, how do you know? Well, God told me I could. But he also said that the ones that are going to go to heaven are going to be the ones who diligently seek him. Not just the ones that have a mental belief about something that God told them to do. Anybody else? Any questions, comments? If not, I tell people back home, if nobody has any questions, nobody says anything, that must mean that everybody agrees with me. Now do I have any questions? All right. Appreciate your attention.